Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, on that Christmas morning, Jesus was born. And God, he was born on this earth to save us. And God, how grateful we are for that. And Lord, we just pray now as we study your word and we look at it, we pray that it will speak into our hearts in a very special way. Lord, we love you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a praise clap, for he's a good God and a loving God. And man, what a great spirit already that's in here. What a great spirit that's here as we worship the Lord today. And we thank God for all that he's doing. Well, it's that time of year again with Christmas. And, you know, some of you guys were crazy enough to bear the Black Friday insanity, right? And you did that for the sake of Christmas, right? You did that to get in the habit of, you got to go get the deals. Got to get the deals. And you got to get all the good stuff and all that fun stuff. And Christmas brings, it has a kind of a natural way about it of bringing traditions to mind. And, you know, I bet all of you have your Christmas traditions. Obviously, your first one, right, is going out on Black Friday, getting all the fun deals. That's your first tradition. And traditions are sentimental. Real quick, out of curiosity, who has their tree up? Who doesn't have their tree up? Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Here we go. All right. But, you know, at our home, we're beginning traditions at our home. We're beginning those. And we have a little girl, and we have another little girl on the way. We found out that's another little girl. So we're excited about that. You know, I pray that God would give me a really good woman when I asked Taryn, you know, when I was looking for a wife, God gave me Taryn. Now he's going to bless me with girls everywhere, you know. So I'm thankful for that. And so we will be the hub for Barbie at our house here in a couple of years. So excited about that. But we're beginning our Christmas traditions. And we already have some. Me and Taryn already have some that what for our family, we go down to Gatlinburg. We go down to Nashville and we walk through the Opryland Hotel. If you've not done that, it's beautiful to do that at Christmas time. That's something that we do every year, even before Gracie was born. So we're excited to take Gracie. She's a little bit more, you know, aware and active and knows what's going on. So we look forward to taking her down there. That's part of our traditions, you know, putting our tree up. We already have little traditional ornaments, you know, our first Christmas, baby's first Christmas, and then, you know, all those little ornaments that you do. Christmas has a way of bringing repetition to us. We go to the same houses every year. We put the same decorations up. And it has a way of just, you repeat things at Christmas. By natural ebb and flow, you repeat things at Christmas. And what's funny is that sometimes when we repeat things and we do them over and over and over, we have a human tendency to forget why we did that to begin with. You know, we start a tradition, we do this, we do that, and it keeps moving, it keeps pressing on. But then we kind of forget why we started doing that in the first place. Why do we have these traditions? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? And we forget the meaning sometimes of why we do what we do. So this Christmas season at Life Community, this is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to rediscover Christmas. We're going to look at Christmas in a new, fresh way that maybe you haven't looked at or thought about in a while, because, you know, you see the nativity sets and you see this, you see that and all this, and you have all the stuff in your house. But have we paused yet to think about Christmas and what Christmas really means? Have we considered that yet? And as we think about that and we think about Christmas, here's what's going to happen. When you rediscover Christmas, because all you guys are doing Christmas. You got Christmas, you're already in Christmas mode. But when you sit there and you rediscover Christmas and you pause to take a long, hard look at what Christmas really is about, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. And God's going to show you some amazing things about Christmas. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to study the Christmas story starting today up until the Sunday before Christmas. And we're going to study. And I want you really to hang in here with us. If you came today for the first time, I'm glad you're here. But I want you to stick with us for 4 weeks. I really do. I really desire that. I want you to rediscover Christmas with us. I want you to hang out with us and rediscover what Christmas is all about. And we're going to pause. We're going to take a look at some people in the Christmas story that you maybe have them hanging up in your house, on your tree. But have you stopped to think about them? Because when you rediscover Christmas, you're going to get so much more than just the plastic Jesus out in your front yard that glows, okay? It's going to be so much more than that when we rediscover Christmas. Matt read our scripture to us today, but we also have a memory verse that we're going to work on. I like memorizing scripture, and we're going to memorize this for scripture. It's on your program, but we're going to memorize this for Christmas. And let's just, if we can, let's just read this out loud together. This is our Christmas memory verse. Are you ready? Here we go. They will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Matthew 1:23. So we're going to commit that to memory. They will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. That's who Jesus is. He's God with us. As Taryn sung this song about Mary, you know, holding the little baby. And you wonder, did she really know that when she swaddled that little baby, when she burped that baby, when she changed that baby, and she kissed that baby, did she really know that that baby had made the moon and the sun and the stars and the earth and the ground and even the very air that she was breathing in at that time? See, Jesus has always been here. Did you guys know that? He's God. Jesus is God. Hey, Jesus just didn't appear on Christmas morning. He was always here. He is God. He is the eternal God. He made the earth. But on Christmas, he became flesh. On Christmas, he left heaven and became flesh. And the Bible says that he became nothing almost. And I would imagine that if you knew the intricate workings of time and of the cosmos, and you knew everything about the universe, and then to become a little baby, how humbling is that? That he would allow himself to do that. Did Mary know what she was holding in her hands? Probably not. I don't think Mary fully grasped who Jesus was until he rose from the dead. When you study the story, you kind of get the glimpse that she wrestles. Mary kind of wrestles with Jesus, not really knowing who she is. There's a little bits of tidbits in the scripture that kind of just, she's puzzled. She kind of scratches her head. She treasures in her heart. But now, when he rose from the dead, you see Mary as one of the leaders in the church, and she's doing great things for the gospel, and she's right there, and she's doing. But at this moment in time, here's a teenage girl who's engaged. Let me tell you a little bit about Mary as we rediscover Christmas. We're going to look at Mary today. We're going to rediscover who Mary was. Mary was a little Jewish girl. She's not little. She was probably in her teenage years. Probably some scholars would say 13 to 16, 18 years old, somewhere in that area. And Mary was engaged. And back then, an engagement was a little bit different than the engagements we have today. It's still the same premises. You commit to a person, you commit to somebody, and you're going to marry them. But even then, the engagement was even stronger. Actually, you would consider the person you were engaged to already as your husband or your wife. That's how strong it was. But you could not, you know, they didn't live together at this time, and they weren't intimate with each other. So it was a very strong engagement, very, very difficult to break up. And Mary was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. And we know that Joseph was a carpenter, that he did woodworking for a living. And we also know from other places in Scripture that Joseph and Mary were more than likely poor. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of money. They were a young couple. They didn't know very much. They had no money. They had no money. When they were giving their offerings, they couldn't afford a lamb. They had to get the little birds to give. And that's how we know that they were economically challenged. But I would say that Mary growing up probably had the same dreams and the same expectations that all teenage girls have. They want to meet their husband. They want to have kids. They want to make something out of their life. But Mary also had this going against her. She lived in the city called, do you remember what that city was called? The city called Nazareth. Nazareth was kind of the bad end, the wrong side of the tracks. Nazareth was not a good place, so to speak. And they would actually joke about Nazareth. Does anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, you don't tell people you're from Nazareth. They're down there from Nazareth. You know, that's not what you do. But Mary and Joseph lived down there in Nazareth, is where they lived at. Not a lot of money, young. But for the most part, Mary, I would say, would consider herself just a normal Jewish girl with normal Jewish expectations. You would look at somebody like Mary and you would say, is she really going anywhere? I mean, is she just one of the countless thousands of people and thousands of people that live, and you never really, I mean, they live pretty decent lives, but they don't really do very much. I mean, for the most part, you would look at Mary and say, there's nothing really special about her. I mean, yes, she loved God. The Bible tells us that she was devout in her worship of God. But, you know, nothing she did. It wasn't like she was being paraded around town and that she had just mass amounts of wisdom or this or that. She was just a human being who worshiped God, loved God from the wrong end of town, married, getting ready to get married, not a lot of money. And you would think, why in the world would God choose somebody like that to hold Jesus Christ inside of her? Why would God choose somebody for all honesty, has, you know, why her? You know, I mean, why not somebody who was from this great line of prophets and priests, in which she kind of was, but why not just somebody who had fame and fortune? Why just this little girl down here in the bad side of town? Why her? Why would she be the one that would be chosen to bear God's son, Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like you were insignificant? Now just pause there for a moment. Have you ever felt like you had no idea why you're on earth? Why am I here? Why did God put me here? Why is God still allowing me to be here? What is my calling? What is my purpose? What am I doing that's of significance? Me and Derek were talking right before service began that it's so funny that in Christmas time, December, you know, suicides go up and, you know, robberies go up, crime goes up in the month of December, because holidays kind of have a way of making us depressed. Though it's a joyful time, it has a way to make us depressed. And I would say that probably some of you guys in here today are struggling with insignificance. Do I really have a purpose? Do I really have a plan? I mean, why am I here on earth? I have no purpose. I feel like I'm stuck in life. I'm working at a dead-end job. What good could I ever do? And you may think, I'm not a bad person, so to say, or I'm not this or that. I'm just plain. And I'm just me. But will I ever amount to anything? C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer and philosopher, he said this, and I love this, and I just want you to listen. This is a quote that he had, and I love it. He said, it may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. Did you catch that? It may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. It would be a jolly slight harder for it to learn to fly while being inside the egg. Don't you think that'd be hard for a bird to fly if it was inside the egg? And then he says this, we're kind of like eggs right now. At the present, we're kind of like eggs. You cannot go indefinitely just being an ordinary, decent egg. We must be hatched or we go bad. Did you catch that? We must be hatched or we go bad. See, there's some of us today that are just kind of embracing that there's never really anything out there for us. There's really no purpose for us. There's really no plan for us. I'm in my egg, and I'm okay with that. I'm in my little egg, and I'm going to be all right. But can I tell each of you all something today? God did not create you to stay in the egg. He created you to fly like an eagle today. God has purpose. He has significance. He has meaning on every single purpose of person in this room. Y'all believe that today? Bible tells you that you do. You have a reason for being here. I want you to do something. I do this a lot. These are folks that are with us a lot are already getting used to it. But look at your neighbor today. Look at your neighbor. Just look at them, all right? Look at them. And just say, you have purpose. You do. You're not insignificant. You're not worthless. You're not meaningless. You have purpose this morning. Mary may have thought, I don't know, but she may have thought, do I have purpose? And now we stand on this side of Scripture and we say what? Yes, Mary had purpose. Yes, Mary had purpose. Absolutely, she had purpose in her life. And she had to discover her purpose with a little help from God. And today, I want you to discover what God has in store for you. I want you to know what the Lord has in store for you today. Let's look at real quick. Let's look at just a few things today that we want to look at about Mary. First, I want you to know this, that Mary was chosen by God. Now, I want you just to know that she was chosen by God. The Bible says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, an insignificant town, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman." Stop right there. What did she do to be favored? We're not told. Actually, the Bible doesn't say. It says she just loved God. So how was she favored? Well, actually, when you begin to dissect the Greek, and the Bible was written in Greek, okay? The New Testament was written in Greek. When you begin to dissect that, that word favor is connected to another word. You ready for this? It's the word grace. Grace. You know what grace is? Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Anybody going to give grace to their children this year by giving them a present? Well, you've been bad this year. You're getting coal, amen? Yeah, right. You're going to give them coal, right? No, you give them because you love them. This word favor is connected to grace. So who was Mary? She was a woman right off the bat that had grace in her life. God had grace on little Mary. And the Bible says, "Rejoice, favored woman," or "woman full of grace. The Lord is with you." Just stop there. Dude, what's going on? I'm living an everyday, ordinary life. Everything's going pretty good. I'm not really going to make a difference in the world, but that's okay. And all of a sudden, God sends an angel. And the angel is telling me that he has news for me, that there's grace on me, and that my world's about to be rocked. I want you to know today that everything God had for Mary was a gift to Mary. Did you know that? It was a gift to Mary. The Bible says that God sent an angel. It was the Lord who did this. And I want you to know this, that likewise, Mary's significance came from God, not from herself. Today, your significance does not come from what you do. Did you catch that? It's not how good of a job that you work at. It's not how much money you make. Because I could take you to people right now that have made lots of money that are sad and depressed as can be. Your significance is not based on your performance. Do you hear me on that today? It's not. If you think that the more you do, the more you do, the more you do, then the better or the more meaning that you have. No. Hear me. Your meaning, your purpose is derived from God. That's it. That's how we discover our purpose today. We quit looking at what we do. We quit looking at the job we work at. We quit doing this or that because there's always a better job. There's always something more. But your purpose is from God. Just if you have your notes, just jot these down. Just listen to these scriptures. Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be homely and blameless in his sight in love." God has taken notice of you. 1 John 4:19, we love because what? He first loved us. He loved you first. Before you ever loved him, he loved you. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." I like the one translation, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Can I tell you something? You are loved by God. Loved by God. And God has a plan for you today. Mary was chosen by God. And I want you to know that everyone here in here today is chosen to be a recipient of God's grace if you receive it today. For whosoever believes and receives that grace can be saved today. And your purpose and your meaning is not from this or that. It's from whether or not you accept God's plan for your life. When you begin to accept God's plan for your life and you understand that Jesus had to die for you on the cross and he had to rise again, and that he gives you meaning, he gives you purpose, he gives you significance, hear me, you will begin to make a move from ordinary to extraordinary. Did you hear me on that today? You will make the move from being an ordinary person to an extraordinary person when you embrace the fact that your purpose is connected to God and Jesus and not what you do. Get it? Good. Amen. All right. Second, I want you to notice this. Mary would carry Jesus Christ. She would carry Jesus Christ. The scripture goes on. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid. You know, I always like it how angels say this. Don't be afraid. Probably easier for the angel to say that than for us to embrace. Hey, I'm just having, you know, coffee at my house, and then this gigantic angel just pops up and scares the pants off of me. You know, it's probably easier for the angel to say that, for the person to receive it. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. The angel had a very specific plan for Mary, that she was to be the vessel that would carry the God-man. See, Jesus, the Bible tells us, was 100% God. Did you catch that, right? 100% God. He's not a section of God. He is God. But also, he's 100% God. And also, for those that know, tell me, he's also 100% man as well. Now, wait, Kenny, that's 200% when you add, yeah, isn't God awesome? He's such a mystery. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I don't know either. It's just amazing how it works. And it's just amazing. But he's all God, all man, growing inside of a human belly. Wild. We went and did the early ultrasound thing this week, and we went to Bowling Green, did that. Why did we do that? Well, because if it was a boy, we needed to know before Christmas time come, because we didn't have any boy stuff, you know. So we needed to make sure all of our Christmas presents were boy, little boy stuff. But it's not. It's little girl stuff, so we can just recycle everything now. Amen. 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 Love it. Amen. But I didn't say that out loud. Sorry, Taryn. But amen. It's a little girl. Amen. But let me tell you this. We saw in that ultrasound this little baby jumping and squirming and all this stuff. You know, they do the 3D deal now. You can see what they look like. A little alien right now is what they look like. And, you know, you see this little alien inside of them, you know, very much alive and moving. I'm sure my wife loved that I shared all that with you guys. But you see this little being inside of her. And what's wild about that, I think about Mary, that little baby is swimming in there. You know, it's turning over, it's doing flips, and it's God. It's God. Just think about that. Every little kick, well, my goodness, that was the leg that will walk on water, as Taryn sung about, you know? This little baby made everything. And it's living inside of me. See, Mary's job was to be the vessel for Jesus to arrive to this earth. Her significance is because she was chosen to be the person that would give birth to Jesus. Now, can I tell you something that we can connect and relate to Mary? Relate to Mary? I'm pretty sure, Kenny, that I'm not going to have a miraculous baby growing inside of me. Especially you men, okay? You aren't going to have a miraculous baby growing inside of you, okay? That's not going to happen, all right? So how in the world can we relate to the fact that Mary carried Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm about to tell you. The Bible says, write this down, 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20, I'm going to read it to you. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When you give your life to Jesus, guess what? You are made a carrier of Jesus. Did you know that? When he comes in your life, you have Jesus living inside you. When you accept that he died, rose again, and that he forgave you of your sins, he lives in you. And guess what? You now have a job. You got a job. You got a job. And that job is to tell others about Jesus. So people come to me and say, Kenny, I just feel so insignificant. I got this ordinary job, but I really want to do something for God. So should I be a missionary to Africa? Should I just go to the Antarctica and witness to the penguins down there for the sake of the gospel? What should I do? I want to do something so much for God. And yeah, we need those people. We're gonna show a video here in a few minutes about missionaries. Yeah, we need them. But can I tell you something? If you know Jesus, you are a missionary, period. Now, y'all don't believe that. But I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. You're a missionary. You're a missionary. Everyone here has been commissioned. You've been sent to go share the gospel. Every one of you. You have my permission, okay? Go tell people about Jesus. But see, here's the thing. Sherry cuts hair. She's to use that for the gospel. Use it for the gospel. Donnie installs satellite dishes. He's to use it for the gospel. Ralph fixes teeth. He's to do that for the gospel. I mean, we can go through each and every person. Listen, your job does not determine your significance. Are you with me? It doesn't. It's what you do with what you've been given. Does that make sense? So if Jesus is in your life, you have this awesome responsibility to carry Jesus no matter where you go. Understand that we can move from ordinary to extraordinary when we begin to realize if we're a student or we're a mother or we're a father, whatever it is we do, if we're a volunteer, that we carry the name of Jesus with us to tell people. See, it's not about us. It's not about us. The me thinking, the I thinking makes us insignificant. The God thinking is so much bigger than us and better than us, and it gives us purpose. Third, I want you to see this. Mary would see the impossible become possible. I like her response in 137, or actually when she goes down, before you get to that, and the angel is telling her, you're going to have this baby. His name is going to be Jesus. He's going to be called Great, the Most High. He'll be a king. He'll reign forever. And I like, it's not in your notes, but I like in verse 34, she asks a very serious question. How can this be, since I've not been intimate with a man? I think that's a pretty good question, don't you? How am I going to have a baby if I'm a virgin? How is that going to work? And I love, you get on down to the angel's response, and he finally says it. I love it. He says, but Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. We serve a God that breaks impossibilities to pieces. So when we give our life to Jesus, when we surrender our hearts to Christ, hey, we discover that God has a plan for us from the very beginning. We're chosen by God. Second, we discover that we're to carry Jesus. That's our purpose. But third, hear this. You will sit back and you will begin to see God do things that you thought were impossible. I mean, I am blown away with what God is doing with this church. Blown away. We prayed for 6 years that God would let us do this. He did. And then now we're seeing families give their lives to Jesus. Guys, that's amazing. We're seeing hearts change. People coming and meeting in a little community center. Why? Because God's doing something, you know? He's doing something. And I love sitting back and just seeing the impossible. Well, you ain't ever going to make a difference. You aren't going to do this. It just become possible because we align ourselves with God's agenda. We align ourselves with what the Lord is doing. We just say, hey, it's not about me. Let's get on His agenda instead of our agenda. Let's start doing what He wants to do instead of what we want to do. And you know what happens when that happens? The impossible becomes possible. When you as a Christian begin to pray, you got this direct connection to God. If you know Jesus, you got a direct hotline to God. You don't need a priest. You don't need a prophet. You got Jesus. It's enough to pray. Did y'all know that? Direct line to God. Direct line. And you start praying, and God starts hearing your prayers, and the impossible becomes possible. Hey, listen, if you know Jesus and you feel insignificant, can I tell you something that encourages you? God always, always, always hears what you're praying. You're telling me that God listens to something that's insignificant. You think so? Let me take it a step further. Do you think Jesus would die on a cross for somebody that was insignificant? You think so? Of course not. You have purpose. You have a plan. And it's in God. So how do we move from ordinary to extraordinary? Well, you get on God's agenda. You get God's grace in your life. Mary was not a superwoman. She was, you know, and some traditions would try to ascribe to her deity and try to make her to a god and worship Mary. No. That ain't what the Bible teaches. Mary had to be saved by the same little baby that grew in her that we have to be saved by. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Bible teaches that. She became a Christ follower after the resurrection. She did. She became part of the church, that the first church that met. She loved God. Mary doesn't save us. Mary bore the Savior. Does that make sense today? She bore the Savior. Now, Mary ended up experiencing God's grace and great things. But I want you to know today that our significance is not what we do. It's not the ordinary life that we live. It's the extraordinary God that we serve. And when you begin to get in line with God's activity, God begins to use you. I just want you to real quick to listen to this. I want you to listen to the people that God uses. These are Bible characters, and I'm about ready to tell you, but I just want you to listen. All of these were big Bible characters in the Bible. Big deals. Just listen. All people that God used. Abraham was an old man. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Moses stuttered. Joseph was abused. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and had all kinds of family problems. And God still used them. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Nobody liked him. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. Timothy was timid. And let me say this about Mary. Mary was just plain Mary. And God used her. See, guys, it's all about lining up with God. Putting your focus on the Lord. How do you live extraordinary lives? Hear me, live the Jesus life. Give your heart to Christ. I want to leave you with this last little point on the screen, if it's there. It's in your notes, at least. It's God's grace that moves us from the ordinary to the extraordinary. It's God's grace. That's all it is. It's God's grace. Today, have you received God's grace in your life? Do you know that you know that you know you're going to heaven when you die? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of your life? These people that we're baptizing this afternoon have done that. They've prayed and invited Christ into their life. Maybe today you don't know Jesus, and you need to give your heart to Christ. I beg and I plead with you to do that today, to ask Christ into your life. If you would, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're just going to have a time of reflection this morning, talking about hope, extraordinary lives. Do you know Jesus today? Is he the Lord of your life? If you've never given your heart to the Lord, maybe today you'd say, Pastor Kenny, I need Jesus in my life. I want to believe. I want to be saved. Maybe today, if you're ready to do that, put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Say, hey, it's all Jesus, not me. Would you pray this prayer with me today? It's not magic words. It's not hocus pocus. It's from the heart. We receive Jesus, the Bible tells us in John 1. We receive him. He makes us an extraordinary people. But it's a belief that he died on the cross, he rose again, and that we're committing our lives to him. Have you done that? If not, if you've not done that, you've not living to the potential that God created you to live. Maybe you say, Pastor Kenny, I'm ready to invite Jesus into my heart. Pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus in my life. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that today for the first time, my hope is that Jesus would do something great and you'd tell somebody. You'd let them know. Father, we love you. Help us today to respond to what you're doing in our lives. Lord God, I pray that everyone here would know they are not insignificant. They do have purpose. There is a plan. They don't have to live ordinary lives. God, they are an egg that's about to hatch. And the only way they're going to hatch and fly today, the only way I'm going to hatch and fly today is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Father, stir us. Help us not to be me-centered, but to be God-centered on your hands. Father, we thank you. Here in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. This is what we call an invitation time or a response time. My buddy Mark's over there. I'm here. There's people here that want to pray with you. Maybe today's message spoke to you and you just need to talk to somebody. We're going to sing and you can come talk to them. Maybe you just need to come pray. I don't care. Get the floor and pray. That's okay. But we're going to stand and we're going to sing as we worship God today. Mark's here. I'm here.